Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 145. It starts at verse 14, and it's page 479 in your pew Bible, which I am reading from. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all who look to you in hope, you give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living being. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever.
And thank you to our worship team. Really enjoyed that, worshiping God through the singing this morning. Now, in our series on greater faith, I assign for today the question of God's distance from us. Raising questions like, I doubt that there's a God, or I don't feel like he's very near to me, or God seems so far away. And even Christine in her introduction made mention about how having grown up a church and yet finding out that faith seems to wax and wane, to come and to go. And I want to ask the question this morning as to what is the truth? What is going on when we feel this way, when we don't feel like God is near? When we don't feel God is near, it can go in two directions. First of all, there can be a crisis of faith, in which we are wondering, where is he? How come I can't feel him near? We feel like a man walking around in a dark room and not able to feel where anything is. And it really disturbs our soul. That's one way. The other way is simply that without God around, we just forget about him. And the ordinary and practicalities of life take over, and this becomes our urgent concern, and we just go days, weeks, without even thinking about him because, well, he's far away. That's a common thing that happens. I was reading one author who had interviewed hundreds, maybe thousands of North Americans about their faith, discovered that for many, many of them, God has equal status to an oil refinery. In that if you were to ask somebody, is there such a thing as an oil refinery? They would say, yes, there is. And if you were to ask them, is an oil refinery important? They would say, oh, yes, very important. And then, do you think about that oil refinery? Never. And so God gets put in that same classification. Is there a God? Probably. Is it good that we have a God? Yes. Do you ever think about him? Never. The distance of God. I knew that this sermon was coming, and so a preacher begins to pay closer attention to what people are telling me, begin to pay closer attention to myself. Why is it that so many people feel that God is far away? And I saw perhaps that the problem is not so much that the God of the Bible is under-experienced, as that we are so over-experienced in other gods. So that in answer to the question, what makes me happy now? Well, the first thing that we do is we pull out our phone and open up an app of some sort and look at it. Or we go and watch the next episode in the latest popular TV show. Or we wonder what Justin Bieber is tweeting right now. Or where's my kid's next baseball game? Or what's the next bit of internet gossip? And we get captured, our attention gets captured by these things. And paying attention to your kids and going to baseball games or having a cup of coffee, all of those things are good things, but because they happen so fast and are now, they can We can over-experience them and under-experience the God of the Bible. Little energy is left over for the God above. So that as never before, we can fill our hours eating soul candy. God, however, is the meat and potatoes. He is, as they say, the proper meal for us. He fills our soul with good things. I know that when I get home and I walk in through the door and I can smell what my wife has stewing away in the slow cooker and I smell it and I suddenly think, this is what I've been waiting for all day long and I just realized it now. It is that proper meal that you most need that gives you, that your body is craving, and you discover it and you say, this is what I need. And God is like that meal. If we're not, in a sense, smelling the aroma of God, we get caught up in all kinds of little things, one after the other, that we are doing. And then suddenly we come to God and we realize, oh yeah, this is the thing I have been longing for all day long. The meat and potatoes, the proper meal that my body, my soul really needs. We will come to our verse in a moment, Deuteronomy 4:7. And there's very much a sense in that verse of coming home to God and suddenly realizing this is what I need. Let me say first, though, that the season of Advent, and here we are in the third week, has as its purpose not only to get us excited about Christmas, but also to give us time to set aside the things that distract us from attention to Jesus. So that when Jesus comes, we're ready for him. Our attention is on him. To set aside so much of the candy that we eat through the day and the week in order that we come to the proper meal, that we come and adore and worship Jesus Christ. Christmas does require a walking away, and it's an important part of the story. It happens quite often in the story. The shepherds, once they hear that there is a king born in the neighboring town, leave their sheep. Well, if a king is born next door, that's what you just have to do. Eventually, they come back to their sheep. The Bible says that. But they left their sheep, walked away from it in order to worship Jesus. The wise men left their homeland, traveled weeks, maybe months, in order to get to where the star was leading them in order that they could see this wonderful new thing. So the wise men walked away from things too in order to come to Jesus. A man who failed the Advent test was King Herod. King Herod had spent a lot of energy and spilled a lot of blood in order to get where he was, to be king of the Jews. And when he heard that a new king of the Jews had been born, he was not willing to walk away from what he had worked so hard to get. And instead tried to kill that king of the Jews, that new one. So the Christmas story has a lot of walking away. Now, as an exercise for myself, I decided I'm going to assign to myself names of the sheep around me. And anything that in the last week I had spent more than 5 hours doing, well, I would name a sheep that. Some of them were like necessary requirements, like preparing this sermon. I named a sheep preparing the sermon. And then there were some emails I had to reply to, so that was another sheep. And then I made some visits, and so that was another sheep. And then there were things that were kind of discretionary time, things I like to do. I read a novel, so that was another sheep. And I coached some basketball, so that was another sheep. And then I admit, quite a bit of the Toronto Raptors this last week, so that was another sheep. So I had all these sheep around me. And then, like the shepherds, I imagined that I heard the call of the angels, and I walked away from all those things, and I came to the sanctuary here, and there wasn't anybody in here during the day. And this is something that you may be interested in doing. It's a beautiful place in here. It's quiet. And I flicked on that light switch in order to get the wreaths lift up. And then just around the door over here is a switch that goes sideways, and it lights up the cross here. And then I sat down in the front pew here, and it really is a gorgeous, meditative scene above the stable. Perhaps I should have lit the candles too. I think the lighter stays there if you want to do it, but you become responsible if things start on fire. So there I was. I just sat in the front row here, and I said out loud, Psalm 103. There is no better chapter in the whole Bible in realigning perspective. It starts, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And the psalm just packs a whole lot into 22 verses. Whatever you need to hear from God, it is there in those 22 verses about forgiveness and obedience and about how small and short our lives are, but compared to the everlasting love of God from generation to generation, about how God's throne is in the heavens. And just to go through Psalm 103, say it out loud in this setting, it is perspective changing. And I really appreciated it. I realized as I was sitting there that I needed to have named more sheep. Sheep that just have to do with the pressure and responsibility and weight of life. Performance and people and pleasing people and making sure that you're trying to get everybody happy and all these sorts of things that just really can weigh down a person. Be able to name the sheep those things and walk away from that too. Of course, we must always do the best at whatever it is that God has given us to do, but when you sit here and read and say out loud Psalm 103 and look at the stable, you realize that help has come down from heaven for us. He's come to us to help us, to save us, to give us the strength and energy and ability to go on. And as I was sitting there, it just occurred to me, now I have a new perspective on what Jesus means when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has taken the people of Israel through the wilderness of Sinai, and he has come finally, after 40 years, brought them to the edge of the promised land. And Moses is not going to go in. In a short while, he is going to ascend a mountain, and God is going to take him. Joshua will take over leadership and lead them into the land that God has prepared for them. And Deuteronomy is really Moses giving his last instructions to the people. Say, remember this. Remember this. And he says in Deuteronomy 4:7, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Moses is saying to the people, your Lord God is very close to you, and all you need to do is call upon him, and he will be there. Now, this verse assumes that the other nations have gods. They are pretend gods. They do not have reality or power or presence. But human nature has not changed one iota from back then to now, is always looking for something ultimate to save us, to rescue us, to finally bring us health, to finally bring us power, to finally bring us ascendancy, to finally bring us safety, something that will do that for us. In the past, they would take stone or wood and they would shape it into an image that I guess looked like the thing that they wanted to save them, and they would worship that image, and that image was called an idol. We are, in modern times, too sophisticated for setting up such stone and wooden idols, and yet it is still the same that people, Canadians, look for something to save them. Whether it be science or celebrity or food or sport, or children, But as our verse declares, the Lord our God is nearer to us than any of those things. He is nearer to us than anything else we may put our trust in. I said that our feeling that God is distant may be because we are so overstimulated by these other gods. Family activities, internet conspiracies, political scandal, the newest dishwasher style, yesterday's terrorist attacks, all of these things press in and they feel closer to us than God himself. But for Christians, we must constantly remind ourselves that the Lord our God is nearer to us than any other God. He is nearer to us. And you may have already noticed that word whenever. So God is not always obvious. But whenever we call upon him, he is there. Whenever. That condition at the end there, whenever we call upon him, is on one hand, the easiest thing in the world, and on the other, the hardest thing. It's easiest because all we have to do is say it. Wherever we are, we call upon the Lord, and he is there. But it is the hardest because it requires of us humility. We cannot rule our own lives in pride and simultaneously ask God to come and rescue us. And that is why the more distant gods of science, fashion, shopping are more attractive. We feel we retain some control over them. But with God, you cannot stay with the sheep and also go to Bethlehem. You have to leave the sheep and go to the stable. Find the little Lord Jesus and worship him and give him your gifts. There's something else that we have to walk away from in Advent. It is not sheep in the sense that we will return to them. Rather, they need to be thrown over the cliff. It's far more sinister than just the ordinary distractions of life. These are things we must leave for good and never return to. And I am speaking of the many ways in which the world permits us to shift blame onto others for what is really our own responsibility. To say here that it is you that must go to the stable, and it is I that must go. There are no if-onlys. I will go if only he hadn't let me down, if only she hadn't hurt me, if only we had a better government, if only there wasn't this big business conspiracy against me. If only he didn't lie about me. If only she didn't gossip about me. Those are things that need to be set aside forever because God's call is to us personally, to you and to me. We must abandon the ways in which we shift responsibility onto others and take responsibility for myself before the Lord Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ means that you must show up in person. It's you. It's you. You go. You go to the stable and worship the Lord and give him your gifts. I make the journey. I present my life. I give my gift. I do not judge others. I judge myself. Find myself wanting and turn to the Savior to save me. He does desire to save you, but you must go to him in person. Today, walk away from the sheep. Forever, walk away from excuses. Go to him with your gift and worship the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, each one of us here, present in this place, we open up our own heart to you and ask you to come in and heal us and redeem us and save us. And Lord, there's a lot of distractions out there and a lot of ways in which we are permitted to let others do the work for us. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's got to be me. It's got to be each of us. And I pray that we would all take responsibility for our own souls and come to the Lord Jesus and present ourselves to him. We worship and adore you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, you may be seated. The Sunday school kids have a gift for you. So I see them creeping up the back there, and here they come. Do you want to come up to the front? All those are for me? No.
So the Sunday school would like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. And in the foyer, they would just welcome you to please take a cookie that they have decorated, especially for you. And they wash their hands twice. And so it's good to go. So Merry Christmas, everybody.